Let's move forward in our discourse. In everyone, take your document out. Then understand there are some extras in case of the excerpts, that is. Anyone need one? Repeat after me. Scripture comprehensions and measures. The matrix. Take your document, and from your document or your excerpt, go to page 7. Deacon Gavin is our designated reader. Also, let's go to Ephesians chapter 3. Verse 18. I'm going to do a little in-depth exegesis this morning. And no, I'm not going to shy away from it. I am not. Amen. Once we get it down into our spirits, what the Word of God is actually uttering, what it is actually saying, it brings a great insight. So it's worth the effort. Amen. It's worth the effort. Amen. In Romans chapter 3, very unique chapter. Amen. I rely upon it heavily when conveying the glorious message of what God has accomplished beforehand. In having conveyed to us depictions of what he did, what's already done, what's completed. And in doing so, it gives us understanding of what things are and what things aren't. Now you're ready to live your life.
That's right.
In joy. Mm-hmm. In peace. Mm-hmm. Tranquility. Oh no, not based upon what you're seeing or what you think you see in the mirror or the matrix. Mm-hmm. But in essence, what we know concerning what is actualized, what is, what resides in eternality. A glorious message that, as Paul writes in this third chapter of Ephesians, was unknown for generations. That means all the way down to Adam and to Noah, to Abraham, to Isaac, Jacob, to Joseph, to Moses, all the way to the chronology of what Israel's record is in Chronicles, and it's Chronicles in Kings. All down through the ages of even when the prophets, Isaiah and Ezekiel and Daniel, were prophesying, and went all the way to the end of the world, at the age. It was like there's a dip there, and there's something, a treasure that was hidden.
Yeah.
Even though Daniel saw all the way to the end of the ages, he never saw the church. Here Paul conveys the fact, and if he is to be believed in the testimony here, that there's a dispensation that none of them ever saw. Even when you move into what we call the New Testament, and you look at all of the disciples that Jesus had, and all the kingdom apostles, none of them ever saw these glorious truths. For here in verse 2 of that third chapter, he said, if you have heard of the dispensation, men of God's people have not heard of the dispensation of grace. Said, which is given me to you. In other words, it was given to me for you. Who are you? Those who are in this dispensation called a manifestation, but were in eternity some position in the body of Christ. The best thing out there was not known. Verse 3, he said, how by in Revelation he made known unto me, and Paul is not bragging here. He said, oh my God. He was the vessel that God revealed it to, but just like he revealed it to Paul, for those that God have called, and we'll get into this in a minute, he revealed it unto certain of his people, not all. And so don't get upset with those out there that don't understand this. Well, I don't buy that. It's not for sale. Love you.
That's right. That's right.
This is a distinct message. And it's called the mystery. Everybody said the mystery.
The mystery.
Now, again, when we talk about a mystery, we're not talking about some unknown doings of perceived unknown doings in the matrix. No, we're talking about an eternal truth of revelation of what God did in eternity, which is really the greatest of all God's creation. That is the body of Christ. This information is unknown. As verse 5 say, unto men in other ages. And so even though we live in this present evil age, this is the
greatest
in relationship to the knowledge of God conveyed to some of his people. And we'll see that in a minute. Now, it entails the fact that we Gentiles from the beginning have been fellow heirs. And particulars of the eternal promise according to election. We were his all the time. The fact that we did do it doesn't mean anything. That only meant that it had not entered into the matrix, that light. But light that's not entered into the matrix does not qualify what is or what isn't. Some things will never be entered into the matrix. And so, basically, this is the ministry. And in verse 10, he speaks of the ultimate end, that Unto the essence of all that he has done, it will be known, and it is known and made known by those recipients who he has given this knowledge to the church. wisdom of God. Then you notice in verse 11 it says it's all according to what? Eternal purpose. Everybody say eternal purpose. We're going to really hit on that this morning. That's the entity that turns the wheel. Eternal purpose is the entity that decides what is and what isn't. How that thing is going to go, or who's, what it's going to be, and how that thing is going to turn out. It just really means how it is going to manifest. Because according to eternal purpose, it already exists. Where? In God's decree. Where is that? In eternity. Everything is already done. Eternal purpose is in Christ Jesus. But we have access, according to verse 12, which causes confidence. And so as it gets to 13, he said, so with this knowledge, don't worry about tribulation. Well, what do you mean, Paul? Don't worry about it. And we can say this, that here Paul is, he's no novice. And God allowed him to know why he went through the things that he went through.
Yes,
so that when he is conveying this knowledge, it has some root.
Yeah.
You know, the old verbiage, been there, done that.
Yeah.
Huh? Yeah. I'm talking about trials. It's not academic.
All right, come on.
I'm speaking about that which I've been through and I'm going through.
Hallelujah.
And so, basically, verse 15, he said, and students, the whole family in heaven, earth, is named. And so here Paul, now he goes into a prayer, verse 16, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory. Of course, we get to the Greek there. In fact, Brother Deacon, I think that's where I want you to start. Everybody got Ephesians chapter 3, verse 16, amen?
Amen. Yes.
First from the King James. 16-18.
We're reading from the book of Ephesians, the third chapter, verses 16-18, firstly, King James Version.
Actually, through 19.
Through 19.
Mm-hmm.
Verse 16, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man. That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith.
And we'll straighten that out. Okay, go ahead.
That ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height.
Mm-hmm.
And to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God.
All right, let's hurry up and get to the Greek.
Now Ephesians chapter 3, beginning verse 16, interlinear Greek text.
Mm-hmm.
In order that he may give you.
All right, stop. Well, Deacon, what is that? Oh, wait, that's a prayer. Absolutely, that's a prayer. What is he saying there? Aris. It's Aris. It's Aris. I want you to contemplate on that a second. Well, I don't have it. Well, what's the determinant of that? determinant of whether you will have it is whether you already have it.
Come on here, Pastor. Come on. Come on.
And it has nothing to do with you.
Jesus.
It has nothing to do with you.
Hallelujah.
It's that God doesn't love you better than he loved the one he doesn't give it to.
Nope.
It's for his purpose.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't we just read in the 11th verse? Eternal purpose, and that purpose is in Christ Jesus.
Yes.
Not about us, it's about him. So the
Amen.
Purpose of God is about him.
Amen.
Mm-hmm. Nothing to do with us. Mm-hmm. Nothing to do with academia. Mm-hmm. How smart you are. Well, that person is a PhD, so maybe he'll understand. No. In fact, most PhDs don't understand this. Most physicists started talking about people like Mr. Hawkins and that have some insight as it relates to physicality, but do not understand that physicality is not a complete unit within itself. Physicality is only an expression. It is a testimonial device.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Come on. Yes, that's right.
All it is. And when it reaches its limit, it's done. It can't go any further. In other words, you cannot explain physicality with physicality. Physicality has to be explained with spirituality. You know, we gave the example of the mirror. You're standing in the mirror. I'm just using an analogy now. Understand as we take this and use the analogy. The real deal is the image. That is analogous to God's decree. In eternity.
Mm-hmm.
What's in the mirror is reflected according to the angle of the light.
Right.
And it also depends upon the shape of the mirror.
Mm-hmm.
If the mirror is flawed, deformed, shattered, in refractions, that's going to be the determinant of what the reflection is. The reflection is the matrix of what we call life.
Right.
And so the aim of the scripture here is to get you to look at the real deal, because you can't depend upon what's in the mirror. And so when they're speaking of comprehension and understanding, it is never in the sense of physicality, but the essence of spirituality of what is actualized in God's decree. Remember, and repeat after me this, it's in the saying, not the seeing. Then what God has already said, that's what it is. Not in what you think you see.
Hallelujah.
The word of God is crying out to us. Don't depend upon what you think you see. And that's, it just goes right by. Because that thing seems so real. Again, what's in the matrix?
Light.
Nothing. Light goes enough for the sake of testimony, but if you turn the light on, what's in the matrix?
Nothing.
Nothing. So he is the possessor of light.
Yes, sir.
All right, read that slowly, Brother Deacon.
Yes. Verse 16,
mm-hmm.
In order that he may grant, having granted you,
mm-hmm.
according to the riches of the glory of him.
According to what?
Riches of the glory of him.
Read.
By power.
Uh-huh.
To become mighty through the spirit of him.
Oh.
In the inward man.
Okay, keep going. I want to get that. I'm looking at the time here, and we're
mm-hmm.
getting behind a little. Keep going there.
To dwell in Christ.
Stop. Gotta stop there.
Over.
You see the little note he got under there? Mm-hmm. You know why he got that? What, Brother Deacon, you got from your Greek lexicon? What is that? What is that word? What? Okay, it's an infinitive, which is a verbal noun, and of course in English we treat that by putting two in front of it. We've been through this before, but it's in a, when you, as soon as you said to do, to go, to be, that gives an inference of the future.
Mm-hmm.
This is an aorist infinitive.
Yeah.
What's an aorist? What's the aorist tense?
Completed action.
So it's a completed action.
And
I know we don't talk that way. I went to the store tomorrow, but can the Holy Spirit speak that way?
Yes,
he has.
He has.
Because he is speaking of a thing that has occurred in God's decree. If it never shows up in the mirror, read.
To dwell, having dwelled
mm-hmm.
Christ through faith in the hearts of you.
When did that happen? In eternity. In eternity.
Yes.
Well, I haven't gotten to eternity yet. That's how they have programmed us.
That's right. Amen.
They have programmed us that we haven't gotten quote to heaven yet.
Right.
You're on your way somewhere.
Yeah.
You're in time. You were created in time. Everything concerning you is in time. And what you do in time was depicted, those that made the eulogy and remarks yesterday at the funeral I went to, what you do in time determine where you spend eternity. And see, when you get to this mystery message, it lets you know that you were and you are in Christ, where? In eternity, where? Now. Everybody said eternal now. And so what's manifested or what's reflected in the mirror has nothing to do with the image.
Right. Come on, Pastor. Bring it out. Hallelujah. Yes.
Unless that which is reflected is drawn from the image,
mm-hmm.
That is the word of God. And God said that according as he chose us, what? In him when? Before the foundation of the world. Being holy. And unblemished, unblameable before him. In love, having what? Foreordained or predestinated. I don't care which word you use.
Mm-hmm, 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 mm-hmm.
Yeah. Unto what? Son positioning.
Right.
Adoption, that word, yothesion. Adoption.
Mm-hmm.
Son positioning.
Yes,
so he son positioned you in the body of Christ
mm-hmm.
in eternity.
Yes.
before you were ever encapsulated or thrown into as an image into the mirror for testimony's sake. The essence of who you are is who you are in Christ. Any man is in Christ. What? A new creation. Where you are now.
Yes.
But you got to be digging in the right vein to get that kind of information.
That's right. Amen. Amen.
And this is why, yes, we call us Pauline or what so forth. I don't ascribe to labels.
Mm-hmm.
Paul was the delivery boy.
That's what he was.
Huh? That's right. This message is for... It's for those, as we have seen in a minute, whom God has preassigned it to.
Uh-huh. Amen. Uh-huh.
For purpose.
Yes.
Read. Look at that clock.
In love, having been rooted.
Mm-hmm. In love. Everybody say in love.
In love.
And
he did it in love.
In love. Yeah.
And he did it. When you are not around to say yay or nay.
Yes.
It's all about love.
Yes. Amen.
Having been rooted. When were you rooted? Read.
And having been found.
See the difference? Now, this is why we read from the interlinear. Because here you got two aorist tenses annexed to each other. And that's too strong to ignore. And I'm glad he followed the script. Because salvation is not a work in process. It's not a work in progress. Hmm? I know the song the saints used to sing. I'm working on the building. Tear the church up with that song. Hi. Salvation. It's complete. In fact, he saved you before he... physically, they made you.
That's it. Amen.
You were in Christ before you were ever encapsulated in these bodies.
Hallelujah.
And so where you really are is in Christ.
Yeah.
That's the real deal. In the mirror, you're in these bodies. We're in these bodies. But that's for a definitive duration. Very small.
Very small.
Like a whisper.
Yes, sir.
For testimony's sake. Now we move to verse 18. And we're going to do a little exegeting this morning. And I'm about to go crazy on me. I want you to turn to the... Well, read it first, Brother Deacon.
Verse 18, interlinear Greek text.
Mm-hmm.
In order that ye may have, having had strength to apprehend with all the saints what the breadth and length and height and depth.
Mm-hmm.
And to know the excelling knowledge of love of Christ,
mm-hmm.
in order that ye may, having been filled,
mm-hmm.
to all the fullness of God.
Mm-hmm. That
yes.
So that the exercise here is, as we come into comprehension of what God has done for us, it does something for us.
Mm-hmm.
It takes us beyond the plane of the thing that basically is around us.
Yes. Thank God. Yes. Amen.
Do you know why that problem looks so big to you? It's because of what you are related to. You relate things to things. And one thing looks big to you, and so then when you put something else next to it, it looks big too. Or maybe bigger. You ever notice, how many of you have looked at when the moon first comes up? It looks huge, doesn't it? Then later on in the evening, it looks smaller. Do you know that's nothing but a trick of your eyes? That moon is that moon is the same size as it was at the horizon. But what happens is you were comparing it to buildings and trees and oh, y'all don't hear me this morning. You were comparing it to its entourage. To the things that were around it, and because they seemed big to you, the moon seemed big. But then later on in the evening when you didn't have anything to compare, oh my God. That's what we're trying to do here.
Glory to God.
This is what Paul was speaking about when he said, I'm persuaded that nothing can separate me from the love of God. And he goes through that litany of things. Death. Ooh, death is big in comparison to what? To what? It's a temporary. Ooh. That thing is only huge and dominating based on where you have positioned it in your mind. Now, when you compare things with things, that's one thing. When you compare things with God, they're nothing.
Nothing.
Let's go to the bottom of page seven. I'm sorry. Ephesians 3:8 states, you see it? Well, we're dealing with this, for those that are watching by the webcast and those that are listening, you can go into the audio section. There is an icon you click on and this document comes up. Scripture comprehensions and measures, the matrix. And here we're on around about page 7, but we're under the inscriptions. The grace scriptures actualize functionality of measures, the matrix. In other words, the actual functioning in the matrix of what causes functioning in the matrix of what is the realized or actualized essence of function in the matrix. Are you following me? Ephesians 3:18 states, I'm going to read this exactly the way we have exegeted it. That you may be having been fully able or able to comprehend, having comprehended all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth. Now, you may not at this moment, and I'm sure none of us at this moment know all in-depth workings of God. But as he has prearranged, you will walk out of here with a certain amount of knowledge. And that knowledge will be impactful to you regarding the things, quote, in your life, really the things that are in the matrix. We have a conjunction there, Enoch. rendered that, in all of that. Here it conveys the subjunctive mood in aorist tense. You've just dealt with what is the subjunctive mood?
Probability,
what is the aorist tense? Completed action. So it basically conveys the completed probability aspects, which is connoting God's express purpose for what he is doing and why he is doing. So why didn't God just give everybody the knowledge and just say, but now you know I'm trying to tell God how to run his business?
Amen.
Why do some know and others don't know? Maybe that's smart. No, they're not smart. We're all depraved. And as Paul expressed another place, that natural man or physical man does not know what to think. They're foolishness to him. And the only way he knows they are what? They are spiritually what?
Discerned.
It's through the Spirit. And so these things are conveyed for express purpose. And God has different plans and different purposes in each of our lives. One person's life may go this way and the other. And some people grow up in the same household and they go different ways. You'll understand that has nothing to do with the household. Had to do with God's purpose.
Glory to God.
He takes this one this way and that one that way. According to his purpose. That's a strange thing that out in the cosmos you got to different objects, planets and stars, and they're colliding, and you see all of these different aspects of events and non-events, and
yes.
No one claims to have anything to do with that.
No, that's right.
We get to Earth, we determine what happens.
Oh.
How things move. We are the determinant how things go. No, it's the same thing. God takes this one this way for his purpose. God takes the other one another way for his purpose. Do you know Esau and Jacob were twins? Same mother, same father, same age. Twin. Yet Jacob goes one way, Esau another. One is God's chosen, that is Jacob. One is God's non-elect, which is Esau.
That's right.
And to look at him, you would think Esau was the better. It's not about that. Follow this. Maintaining the flow of the context of the antecedent of previous verses, the passage is that which we've gone through this morning, that Christ may live, having lived in the hearts of his elect, and through the faithfulness of God, in him having imparted spiritual comprehensions to designated ones, as those having been rooted and grounded in eternal knowledge. And some people fussing and arguing with you about that. You can't teach that. You send people on an ego trip. If you really learn this, it is the very opposite of an ego trip.
Opposite.
It's very humbling.
Yes. Yes.
This doesn't give you the big head. This humbles you.
Yes, Lord.
This inflates big heads.
Yes.
Because grace teaches us what? That he is everything and we're what?
No.
We're nothing. He has done everything, and we have done what? Nothing. He knows everything, and we know what? Nothing. Except that which he revealed. God has to reveal it to us. And for his purpose, Jacob really was a, you know, what as is recorded, he was worse character than Esau.
Oh.
But it wasn't about. He said, before either one of them had a chance to do either good or bad, God loved Jacob, hated Esau. Had nothing to do. That's the hardest lesson to learn. And so that should humble you. Not send you on an ego trip. I see anyone with an ego trip, I said, they have not learned grace. Grace means what? No merit. That means we're all depraved. Noah, totally depraved. None that do good. None that seek about them. None. All of sin come short of the glory of God. There's none righteous, no, not one. All this causes you to do is glorify God the more in your lives. All right. Eternal knowledge. Rooted and grounded in eternal knowledge. This is what Paul is talking about here. Having been rooted and grounded in eternal knowledge. Well, then, I don't know who they are. Well, if you're sitting here this morning and the Lord is speaking to you, then that's some indication. That's some indication. Hence, the statement of this verse is that you may be fully able, unable, to comprehend all the saints. That throws some. We don't have time. We'll come back next week and deal with that aspect of it. You say, what do you mean by all the saints? See, the problem was you looking into the mirror and you say, all the saints don't know. You're looking into the wrong place to see what the saints know. Some position in the body of Christ, we all know. It may not be manifested, but we don't go by the manifestation. But I tell you this, wherever is the creed, the manifestation will surely follow. Maybe not ever in the mural. Maybe not ever in time. But in your glorified position as a member of the body of Christ, we all know it. With all the saints. Everybody say, with all the saints.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah.
We'll take you to the mechanics at some point and show you how we arrived at that. Through our grammatical construction.
Right.
Glory to God. Yes. Thank God. So what is it the comprehension is about? The extent of God's comprehensive grid for his beloved. Stop. I want you to go back over to page 7 and you see where you see matrix maze there. That little. Illustration. Right under it. Where it says in this sense. That paragraph. Let's go through that a minute. Keep your finger on where we are in the succeeding paragraph. Here we go in both ascending and descending this morning. Because we want to tie all of this together. It says, in this sense, in what sense? What's the last statement that we made? At the seated paragraph. These multi-types of various misinformations are exchanged in databases of intermediaries in which composite material entropies are disorders and grade. Consequently, nothing can be reliably presented as design or will in this stratum. In other words, you cannot count on anything that you see in the mirror.
Oh.
As being the actualized state.
Amen.
This is why we're always comparing what we see with what God is saying. Because when they don't match, we're going with what God is saying rather than what we see or what we think we see. So in this sense, the matrix, are you with me here, embellishes a mold for shaping dated displays of forums, which allow a finite number of audiovisual channels to be decoded to virtual discs used in the productions of records or recordings or testimonials. Functionality in this vein imbues impetuous, that's impulsive, crossbars connecting multiple inputs to multiple outputs and elements of variations which constantly change. What are we saying there? You're looking in that mirror. You're looking into the matrix. And you know what causes us the greatest concern in the matrix? Change.
Come on, Pastor. Hallelujah.
Even if something okay today, it may not look like that tomorrow.
That's it.
In fact, it may look the reverse of it. And this is the way we view salvation.
Amen.
This is the way we view what we know.
Amen.
This is the way we view what is.
Amen.
I grew up in a church where you could be saved in the morning and lost by noontime if you mess up. No one was ever sure. Everybody was always holding on. Are you holding on? And to me, that presented a nightmare.
Yes, yes. Yes.
That I always got to look into the matrix and see how well I'm faring. Oh, no, amen. The essence of my status is in the actualized state of who I am and always have been in relationship to time. Oh, my God. As a member of the body of Christ, I'm a son of God, heir of God, heir of heaven to the Lord of Christ, and none of that can ever change. That's important as we go through life. That is so important. I see we're not going to really get through this morning. Amen. I always get to come back the next week. Amen. I love that part. But your life's not based upon what you see.
Amen.
What you think you perceive. If all you depend upon is what you're looking in that mirror, in the matrix seeing, those things will kill you.
Amen.
They will wear you out. They will make you miserable.
Amen. Yeah.
Because what is bad gets worse.
Amen. 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 Oh, Jesus.
You want to have a bad day, you just turn on the news. But as you're looking into that tube, only thing you're seeing is what's in the matrix. But it's there for purpose.
Jesus.
Though the trials may come to test us, that's it. It didn't come to kill you. Not only are you hard to kill, you're impossible to kill.
I hear you.
But that's not what you ever were, because there's nothing in the matrix. Woo! Some of us have to go through life, close our eyes, wake up in the arms of Jesus, finally appreciate him. What he has done for us. When we can rejoice in the God of our salvation now, that no matter what you're going through, what even our own struggles and our own infirmities. So, well, I got this problem, that problem, this happened, that problem. Regardless of what it is. The essence of your life is more about what you are doing now than who you were before you got here. It's all about him. Everybody says all about him. Oh, God. All right. I haven't finished this paragraph here. Let's go back up to the paragraph that surpassed me jumping all over. Well, we're going to jump wherever we need to jump to get this thing straight. The great scriptures actualize function knowledge measures the matrix. Let's go back to that paragraph. We're around about the fifth or sixth line. Hence, the statement of this verse is, and that is verse 18 of Ephesians chapter 3, that you may be fully able to comprehend having all with all the saints. So now we stayed on that, right? Not talking about where you are in the matrix. All the saints that are in Christ have comprehended this thing. So here, we're going to the store tomorrow. Oh, no. From here, we've been to the store tomorrow. Right? Okay. Now, it is the extent of God's comprehensive grid, which we have just touched on, for his beloved. What's in the grid for you? What is in the grid for you? And I think I'll stop here today. What is in the grid for you?
Oh, yes. Glorious. Eternal glory.
I don't know. Because I don't know what's in the grid for me. But I have confidence in the one who sets the agenda.
There you go. Amen. That's it.
And I have confidence in what he has already done. Because even before I get to the grid and get to the matrix and look in the mirror, I've looked at God's word, and what did it tell us in that previous verse? Having been rooted, where I am is more important than what I'm doing. What am I saying? Where we are in Christ is more important and what we're doing in the matrix.
Amen.
Where I'm in Christ is more important than what I'm doing in time.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I'm not saying what I'm doing in time is not important. I'm saying, and when we start to prioritize then, where I am in Christ is more important than where I am or what I'm doing in this body. Not to say that what I'm doing in this body is not important. So we should, the thing that influences us the most should be our eternal, actualized son position in the body of Christ. Because anything could happen in the matrix. The Lord could take us out of the matrix and say, ooh, pastor. Has he? No, not eventually. He could take you out today. Has he done you wrong?
No.
No. All you've done is you've made your exit from the mural.
That's it.
go to homecomings, homegoings, as she said, not homecomings. Actually, in the actualized, eternal sense, it's a homecoming. In the mirror, it's a homegoing. It's not the end. It's the end of what's in the mirror, but it's the beginning. So what is more realistic? The beginning in the essence of consciously awakening in eternality where God placed you before you got here, or the ending of having reached the end of that which God placed you into the matrix for. Which is more overriding? Which is the essence of who you are? Paul writes in one place, I'm persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed to him until that day.
Yes, Lord.
What are you talking about, Paul? The essence of my life always has been about Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And whether they whip me, that is beat me, whether they stone me, whether they revile me, whether they persecuted me, and even whether, not whether, Nero, amen, through his wicked act, amen, in process, took me out of here. But I know that he didn't take me out. The Lord took me out. Amen. It wasn't him that took me out. The manifestation occurred because it was decreed. Because God always has something better for me. I was looking at this song that we sung before we started preaching. In love and kindness, Jesus came, my soul in mercy, to reclaim and from the depths of sin and shame, through grace, he lifted me. And then as the last verse there, not on a high plane I dwell. This is where this has taken us. To a high plane. High plane than my bills. And my aches and my pain. Oh my God. And the things that plague me. And the things that irk me and worry me and trouble me. The things that frustrate me. A high plane. A high plane. Oh my God. A high plane. That's where we're going. How plain I dwell. And in this, with my soul, not with my body, with my soul, I know as well. If, you know, they were talking about the asteroid some weeks ago. If it had hit, knocked out the earth, we're in good shape. Are you crazy? No. Oh, then listen. What year is this? 2011. Almost out of it. Where were you in 1911? 1811. 1511. AD 11. All of it back to the beginning of time. Amen. Even when Adam was in the garden, where were you? In Christ. Before Adam was in the garden, where were you? In Christ.
Hallelujah.
We're in Christ.
Hallelujah.
Oh, God, that's got to mean something to us. In Christ, in Christ, in Christ, in Christ.
Hallelujah.
And so the testimony.
No.
Yet how, why, I cannot tell. He should have lifted me. Grace, in love. Didn't we just say in love? God loves the unlovable. And so it says, from sinking sand, he lifted me. Oh, what a testimony. With tender hands,
hallelujah,
he lifted me. From shades of night, some shades of night. The problems, the troubles, the vicissitudes of life. He took me to the plains of light. I end with this. Shades of night in a mural. Plains of light in Christ. I don't know what the writer was thinking about when he wrote this, but amen. I'm telling you how it is.
Yes, Lord.
Shades of night in the matrix. Plains of light in Christ. And so he says, all praise his name. All praise his name. He lifted me. All praise his name. And this is why Paul could be in prison. Say rejoice. And again I say rejoice. What is there to rejoice about being incarcerated? Paul said, I'm not a prisoner in this cell. I'm a prisoner of Christ. Amen. Oh my God. From the darkness to the light. I'm not in the darkness. I'm in the light. Oh my God.
Amen.
That's who I am. Is in Christ. Everybody say in Christ.
In Christ.
Now we're going to go forward in this and we're going to stick with the script.
Yes. Yes.
Because once you get there, your life would be one continuous, a continuum I should say, a peace and joy. And it won't have anything to do with what's going on around you.
Thank you.
All right, we'll take it up next week. God bless you.
Give him a praise. Give God a praise. Hallelujah.